Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
I'm so glad that we serve a God who's a God of power. Aren't you? Our God is a God of power. God tells us that the kingdom is not in word only, but in power. Power. I'm not interested in a God or a kingdom or a religion where there is no power. There's enough of those in the world. I could go shave my head, paint my face, and be a Hare Krishna. There's no power in that. I'm interested in a God of power. I'm not making fun or mocking other religions. I'm just telling you that our God is a God of power. And I fully expect to see His power manifested in my life. And if He did not, I would not serve Him. Because He would be a dead, false God. But He's not a dead, false God. He's a God of power. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, When I came to you, I didn't come to you with excellency of man's speech, man's wisdom, but I came to you in demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith would not rest in just a bunch of words, but in the power of God. I want my faith to be in the power of God. Is your faith in the power of God? I said, is your faith in the power of God? Well, you know, we find out in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the word of God, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The Word of God is alive and filled with power. So if your faith is going to be in the power of God, it must first be in the Word of God. In the Word. It starts in the Word. Everything starts in the Word, doesn't it? Praise God. Hallelujah. And we've been talking about a subject for the last several weeks called releasing your faith. And we found out some things about faith, didn't we? I said, didn't we? We found out a couple things. We found out, first of all, how faith comes. And we found out that faith does not come by praying. Praying is good. We need to pray. We're told to pray without ceasing. We're told to pray with understanding. And we're told to pray in the Spirit. As a matter of fact, we heard a good report yesterday from Brother Will about how he's been praying in the Spirit, praying in unknown tongues at work, and seeing miracles because he started praying in the Spirit. Well, the Word of God tells us you will be endued with power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Praise God. There's power by praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. But faith doesn't come by praying in tongues. You can build yourself up on your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude verse 20 tells us that. But that's not how faith comes. You can build yourself up, but that's not how faith comes. You don't build your faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Prayer will not build your faith. Faith does not come by singing great praise and worship songs, even though that's great. We need to praise and worship. Faith does not come by serving in the church. You might be serving in the church. You might have served in the church. You might even be a paid member of the staff for 20 years. But that won't increase your faith. Faith doesn't come from serving in the church. Faith doesn't come by going to church. That's not how faith comes. Because I've been in churches where there is no faith being preached. Amen. Amen. Faith doesn't come by doing good deeds. That's not how faith comes. There are many things that Christians do to substitute what they should be doing. And there is no profit to it if there's no faith involved. And we found out that faith only comes one way, and that is through the Word of God. By hearing, learning, studying, and meditating on the Word of God. There is no other way. There is no substitute. There is no substitute. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing the Word of God over and over and over and over again. I don't mind telling you that there were things that I needed to hear over and over and over again before a light came on. And I began to see the truth and understand what was really being said and believe it. I didn't believe it the first time. Did you believe the first time somebody came up to you and said, hey, listen, you're going to hell without Jesus? Did you believe that? Probably not. You didn't immediately fall down on your face and cry out, oh, Lord, save me. You probably laughed at the individual and said, get out of my face. But faith came because somebody kept telling you about Jesus, telling you that there is a heaven and that there is a hell, and you finally began to believe that. And then when you finally believed that, you then acted on it, right? But faith came by hearing and hearing and hearing. Amen? So we found out how faith comes. And then we found out that there's more than one kind of faith. And we want to make sure we want to have the right kind of faith, because there's only one genuine faith. Genuine. Genuine faith. And see, very often Christians think that they're operating in faith, but the truth is they're not. Well, they're not operating in genuine faith. And so they're deceived, and they never see the results or the end of it. In other words, they don't see the manifestation of what they're trying to obtain, because they're not operating in genuine faith. And a lot of folks are deceived into thinking that they are operating in genuine faith, when in truth they're not. Amen. There is such a thing as false faith. 2 Timothy 1:5 talks about faith unfeigned, genuine faith. Well, if there's a genuine faith, there's a fake faith. See, because if there was no such thing as fake faith or false faith, God would not have talked about genuine faith. All he'd have to do is just talk about faith. Because there'd only be one kind of faith, genuine faith. But there isn't. There is more than one kind of faith. Amen. We found out in James chapter 2 that there's such a thing as dead faith. Faith without works is dead. There is faith that is dead. Dead. And you know, a lot of Christians have dead faith. And then they wonder why there's no results. Well, let me just tell you something. Dead things don't do anything but stink. That's all dead things do. Did you hear me? They just stink. I'm not interested in dead faith, are you? Then we found out that there's Thomas faith, man's kind of faith. Amen? John chapter 20. Remember Thomas? He said, unless I see it, I will not believe it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how so many folks are. I will not believe that I'm healed until I see my healing. I will not believe that God has supplied all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus until I see that money in my hand. Yes, I will not believe it. See, folks are like that. I will not believe I'm delivered until I actually see a change. I will not believe that things are better until I see things better. Well, that's Thomas' faith. That's the way man works. I will not believe it until I see it. None of those will profit us as Christians. None of those will do us any good. And none of those will cause the blessings and the promises of God to manifest in our life. Not one of those. If we operate in any of those types of faith, we will fail every time. Eventually, we'll end up broke and in the grave. But then there's such a thing as the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. Mark 11:22 told us that. Have faith in God. And we found out that the Greek scholars all agree that a more proper way of translating that passage is have God's faith. Have the God kind of faith. The God type of faith. And we found out how that faith operates. How the faith of God works. How the God kind of faith operates. We found out that the way that operates is that it doesn't go by what it sees. It actually changes what it sees into what it wants by speaking and believing that what it says will come to pass. We found out that the God kind of faith is not affected by the circumstances or the situation, but instead affects the circumstances and the situation. Because the God kind of faith believes that God's word will accomplish that which he pleases. It will prosper in the thing whereto it's sent. It will do what it's supposed to do. It will not return void. That's the God kind of faith. Amen? Well, this is so good already, right? And so if you would go ahead and turn over to Romans chapter 5. That was all review, just so you know. And we'll look at our text that we've used as the whole basis for this particular study. You know, it's so important for us to understand this subject of faith, of how faith operates, where faith comes from, what genuine faith is. It's so important for us to understand these things because of this particular passage. Chapter 5 of Romans, verse 1 says this, therefore, being justified by faith. How are we justified? We're not justified by our good deeds. We're justified how? By faith. So quit trying so hard to become justified and receive the justification that comes by faith. That doesn't mean stop acting godly. That just means stop trying to qualify for God's blessing by acting godly. You already qualify. Now go ahead and act in accordance with the qualification that you've been qualified to. Word of God tells us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. Amen? Amen. All right? So, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, when we talk about hope, remember again, that's confident expectation of the good to come. And that word glory, literally, it's weight. It means weight. It's the weight of the presence of God. It's the manifested presence of God. God and His Word are one. So what it's talking about here, it says, look, by whom also we have access by faith. How do we access the blessing? By faith. What blessing? All of the blessings. Pick a blessing. Pick a promise. How is that manifested in our life? By faith. By the God kind of faith. By believing what God said. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope, in confident expectation of the manifested presence of God. Amen. Is faith important? You bet. Last week, we talked about something called receiving the unseen. How to receive the unseen. Because so many folks, what they do is they look at what they see and they think, well, that's the way things are. But the Word of God tells us that the things that are made are not made from the things that do appear. We have the ability to take something that we cannot see and bring it into the natural physical realm to receive the unseen. When you're sick in your body, you can't see your healing, can you? It's invisible to you. Isn't it? Right? Right? It hasn't manifested. But does that mean it's not there? No. Because 1 Peter 2:24 tells us that with His stripes you were healed. You have been healed, but you can't see it. But that doesn't mean it's not there. Let me ask you a question. How many of you realize that there are things going on in your body right now for good and for bad, and you can't see either one of them? There are bacteria that is in your body right now. Some of it on your skin, some of it in your body, and some of it's for good, and some of it's not so good. But you can't see it. Does that mean it's not there? No, it's invisible to the naked eye, but you can't see it. Right? Look at your arm. Look at your hand. Do you see any bacteria crawling around in your hand right now? No, but there's there. It's there. I know that you know that because every one of you just about uses that antibacterial stuff we got up there. See, you believe it, even though you can't see it. Well, you know, just the same way that you can't see bacteria because it's just not visible to the naked eye, there is also supernatural protection. There are things that are in your body that cause you to be immune to that bacteria. You can't see them either. But that doesn't mean they're not there. Well, it's the same thing with those things that are in the spirit. Our visible, our naked eye cannot see those things in the spirit, but they're just as real. And they are available. Thank God. And we have the ability to receive that which we cannot see. We can receive the unlimited supernatural supply, provision of God, even though we can't see it, but it's there. It's an unlimited supply. There is healing that has been provided for us. We can't see it, but it's there. And it's received by faith. By faith. And we are told not to look at our body, aren't we? Look not at those things which are seen, but look at those things which are not seen, because the things that are not seen are eternal. Don't look at the things that are seen. Don't look at your body. We're told not to look at the seen. We're told to look at the unseen. We're told to look at the invisible. How can you look at the invisible? By faith. See, we can look in the Word of God and see that which is invisible. Right there in the Word of God. With the stripes you were healed. Now you're looking into the invisible. You're looking at something you can't see by looking in the Word. Amen? And we have the ability to receive the unseen. We're talking about faith. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about how faith operates. Now we've talked a lot about it. But this is something that's going to really help you. If you place close attention, this will really help you. It doesn't mean we haven't talked about it before, but faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And if every one of you had revelation of this on this subject, then that would say to me, and by that I mean 100% revelation on it, that would say to me that either you're just ignoring it or you're just foolish. Because I know there isn't anyone here whose life is exactly perfect. That you are walking in the fullness of all God's blessing. Which means to think that you already know this would be foolish. Amen. Even though you may have heard it for 20 years. Amen. There's always something we can learn. Amen. So we want to talk about how faith operates. Now, let me just say this to you. To really get some revelation of faith and how faith operates, then looking at Romans chapter 5, verse 2, where it says, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, there's a word in there, by whom also we. Who's the we? Exactly who is that we? Yeah, we can say us. It's us. You and I. Believers. But if we really want to understand something about how faith operates, it's not enough for us to know that it's talking about us. It's important for us to know who we are. Now, you may think you know who you are. But most of the body of Christ doesn't. They have very little revelation of it. You know, Reverend Susan has been talking about the fact that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Most Christians, even those that are in Pentecostal, charismatic, Word of Faith churches, don't have much revelation on that. Because as soon as they mess up, they're crying and bawling and thinking that somehow they lost their right standing with God and they no longer qualify. And mainly that's because it's taught out of the pulpit so much. God can't bless you because. And while we're talking about how God can't bless you because, God has already fooled every one of us and said, I already done it. So while you're over there talking about what I can't do and won't do, I'm smarter than you and I already did it. Isn't that what it says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3? Thanks be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So while we're telling people, listen, God can't bless you when you're doing this, and God can't bless you when you're doing that, God already did. Now the problem is, you're not in a place where you can receive it. Because your faith is being affected because of what you believe. Not because of how you're acting. It's because of what you believe. Because you can't act in a certain way to make yourself righteous. And if you can't act in a certain way to make yourself righteous, then you can't act in a certain way to make yourself unrighteous. If your actions did not bring you into right standing with God, then your actions won't bring you out of it. You are in right standing with God because of what Jesus did for you. Because you're not capable of acting 100% of the time, 100% perfect. Amen. So we need to understand who we are in Him. Who we are. Because if we're going to talk about operating in faith, in the God kind of faith, that Jesus talked about in Mark 11, 22 and 23 and several other places, if we're going to talk about that kind of faith, we better know who we are. Why we can do that. What qualifies us for doing that? What qualifies us for Mark 11, 23 that says, whosoever shall say, even unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the thing that he says will come to pass, he'll have what he says. What qualifies us to be able to have that kind of authority? The same kind of authority that Jesus had. See, we need to know who we are. Most people don't know that. See, most people will not believe that scripture about themselves, even though Jesus said it. Jesus said it about us, but most folks won't believe it. Because, see, that was Jesus. That's how they think. Well, that was Jesus. He could do anything. He could talk that way. Doesn't the Word of God says, and His teaching, He taught as one with authority? Right? And so they say, see, this was Jesus. And you're talking about God, and God is sovereign, and He can do anything, and this is Jesus. And so He could do anything. But now we're talking about us. See, folks don't know who they are. Whom God says we are. We need to know who we are. Because we're talking about operating in the God kind of faith. What qualifies you to operate in the same kind of faith at the same level or degree that God does? Who are you that you should be able to do that? Well, doesn't the Word of God tell us, behold, what manner of love God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God? I'm a son of God. Amen. And so are you. Praise God. If you would go ahead and just turn over to Revelation. Let's talk about who we are for a minute. Are you in Revelation chapter 1? Let's take a look and see what God has said about us in His Word. Verse 4 says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you, and peace from Him which is and was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Now you might want to write this if you don't have this in your Bible where it says prince. That word prince means chief ruler. He that is over all. And from Jesus Christ, the first begotten of the dead, and He that is over all the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And then I want you to look at verse 6, because it says something. And has made us. Circle that. And has made us kings. Now I know in some translations that word there is translated as kingdom. Let me just tell you right off, that's a mistranslation. In the Greek, the word is basileus, and it literally means king. It means king. And it says, He has made us kings and priests unto God, His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, the Word of God says that God has made us kings. According to God, the way He looks at His children, He sees us as kings. He has made us kings. He's made you a king, a ruler, someone who has authority, someone who has all of the power of heaven behind you. Let that sink in. So while you're sitting there figuring out and trying to figure out how you can get God to somehow get on your side and answer your prayer, or maybe get the devil off your back, God has said, I've made you a king. What do kings do? They rule. A king rules. A king has authority. A king has power. Well, we know that from the Word of God. The Word of God has told us in Genesis chapter 1, Psalm chapter 8, that He has given us power, dominion, the right to govern and control. The Word of God says all the works of His hands. Is earth the work of His hands? Yeah, it is. He's made us kings. Kings have authority. Kings rule. I want you to think about this now, because we're talking about us. We're talking about you and I. We're talking about the people of God. We're talking about folks who have no idea who they are, yet they're trying to operate in a power and authority that they're not even sure is theirs. They don't even know if it's theirs. And if it is, how much? How much authority do I have? And then they're not even sure that if they go ahead and exercise the authority, whether it'll actually be backed up with some power. Because they know themselves personally, I can't do this on my own. Well, you're right. But when you have all the power of God behind you, you can. And you've got better than that. You don't just have all the power of God behind you. You got all the power of God in you. I mean, how much more power do we need? When all the power of God is in us. Doesn't Acts 1:8 say you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you? Did not the Holy Ghost come and indwell us when we were born again? Does He not live in us? Does not the Word of God tell us that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world? We have power and we have authority. It's been given to us. And the reason why is because God has made us kings and priests. Are you starting to see this? A king is a sovereign entity. Think about what a king is over a kingdom. He is a sovereign entity. He doesn't need the approval of others to go ahead and do something. He doesn't have to consult with everybody and say, let's get a consensus, and if it's okay with you, I'm going to go ahead and feed this person or heal this person. And it's not what happens. He's a sovereign entity. He doesn't need the approval of others when he issues edicts, laws, or decrees. Right? See, kings rule by decree. A king says something, and that's the way it is. Their word is law. They rule by decree. Listen, kings rule by decree. Now, for those of you who don't know this, let me just tell you what that word decree means. In case you don't know it. So when I say kings rule by decree, a decree is an edict or a law made by someone in authority. It is basically an authoritative order having the force of law behind it to back it up. It is an act of law. I love this one. I've got these out of the dictionary. It is an act or law that is issued by a king or an emperor. Think about that. That's what a decree is. It is an act or a law that is issued by a king or an emperor. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought of yourself as an emperor? You are over your world. God has made us kings. Didn't we just read that in Revelation? Has made us kings and priests unto God. We don't tell God what to do. We don't rule God. The Word of God tells us that Jesus is the chief ruler over us. But He has given us authority and power so that we can rule here on earth. And kings rule by decree. How does a king, when he wants something done, what does he say? Does he get everybody together and say, hey, listen, if I can just get your approval, I'd just really like to do this over here. I know some of you may not agree, and if you don't, okay, well, no. That's not how he does it. He says, I say, do this. And if you don't, off with your head. You don't defy a king's decree. You don't mess with the king, because the king's got power and authority behind him, and it'll cost you. You know, when you read in Proverbs, it talks about messing with the king. You don't mess with the king. Not if you want to live.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we've been made kings. Kings rule by decree. How are we supposed to rule?
By decree.
By decree. We issue a decree. Mm-hmm. We say, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way that it is. This is the way I want it. I don't care what's going on over there. I want that to stop, and I want that to change right now. And all of the subjects, all of the power of that king, all of the soldiers, all the army, everybody goes and sees to it that that thing changes. Well, there's no bridge across that river. I want a bridge, okay? Everybody goes over and builds a bridge for the king. Do you build a bridge? No. The king, the people build the bridge. You make the decree, isn't that right? Isn't that right? We rule by decree. Now turn backwards, if you would, to the book of Job. Job. Now, if you don't know it, Job is right before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 22. We're talking about who we are. We're talking about how faith operates and how understanding who we are will affect the way that we operate in faith. Amen. And whether or not we are operating in faith, because we have to understand who we are. What authority do we have? Is there anything that we can or cannot do? We need to know these things. Are you in Job chapter 22? Verse 28 says this, "You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you." Who's he talking to?
Us.
This is what God has said. You will decree a thing. You will issue an order. You will issue a law or an edict. You will. You have the authority and the power to do it. You will do this, and when you do this, it will be established unto you. I like the way it says it in the Message Bible. You will decide what you want, you will decree it, and it will happen. You will decide what you want, you will decree it, and it will happen. Amen. Now this is what God has said. You'll decide what you want. You decide what you want. You decide. What do you want? You decide. You decide. What do you want? And you know what? When we're operating in line with the Word of God, we are operating in faith. Mm-hmm. And when we're operating in faith and speaking in accordance with what God has said, in accordance to the principles of the kingdom, we can decree a thing and it will be established. In other words, it'll be written in granite. All of heaven behind you. All of heaven is behind us to back it up. To see to it. That it happens, that it comes to pass. That's why it tells us in Hebrews, that says, are not all they, speaking of the angels, are they not all ministers, ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation? They've been sent forth to see to it that when we make a decree, it gets done. Just like the king, when he makes a decree, everybody goes out and makes sure it gets done. When you make a decree, you have the angels of heaven that are sent out and to make sure it gets done. You're not expected to do it. They'll do it. You're the king. Hello, friends. This is Reverend Slide Moran, and I hope that you've enjoyed the message so far. We'll return to it in just a moment, but before we do, did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.BibleCities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says donate by check or money order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience. Now, let's get back to the message. When you make a decree, you have the angels of heaven that are sent out and to make sure it gets done. You're not expected to do it. They'll do it. You're the king. Most folks don't know this. And even when you try to tell them, they won't believe it. Doesn't the Word of God tell us, what is it, 1 John 4:17? As He is, so are we in this world. Is Jesus the King of Kings? Why do you think He's called the King of Kings? Because we're kings. He is the King of Kings. And doesn't the Word of God tell us that as He is, so are we in this world? In this world? If He's a king with power and authority, what are we? A king with power and authority. It's good to see how Jesus did things, because if we see how Jesus did things, we're told to do things like He did. Amen. See, we can look and see how did Jesus deal with things? And then look and see, and if we can look and see how He did things, and understand the power and the authority that He operated in, the Word of God tells us that we operate in that same power and authority because it's been given to us. Do it the same way. Think of yourself the same way. Think of yourself the same way. Hallelujah. Jesus knew He was the Son of God. Do you know that you are a Son of God? Jesus knew. He knew the power and authority that He had. And so He operated in it. Do you know the power and authority that you have? It's the same power and the same authority, because we are the body of Christ on earth. It's not a different power. It's not a different authority. It's the same. Because we are His body. We are His representative on earth. Do you know that? Because if you don't know that, you won't operate like He did. So let's look at some examples. Can we do that? Look over at Matthew 8. We'll just look at a couple examples here. Is this helping you? Matthew 8. This will change your life. It'll change things. If you'll learn this, meditate on it, operate in it, practice it, as the Word of God tells us in Hebrew, become skilled in the word of righteousness. How many of you know that there are those that are skilled and there are those that are unskilled? See, you can be skilled in the word, or you can be unskilled. You know, you can be all you need to know is just to have a little bit of word, and you can be real skilled in it. Then there are those that know a whole lot of word, and they're not skilled in it at all. I'd rather know a little and be skilled in it than know a lot and not have anything going on. Are you in Matthew chapter 8? Let's look and see some things, praise God. Are you there? Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came to Him a centurion beseeching Him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, all right, I'll come and heal him. Boy, there's somebody who knows something. Notice that Jesus didn't send out an email looking for a prayer chain. Call all the disciples together. We're going to have a prayer meeting here. No, He just said, all right, I'll come heal him. You think He knew something? Doesn't the Word of God tell us these signs will follow them that believe in my name? They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Did you notice that Jesus isn't doubting anything here? I said, did you notice Jesus isn't doubting anything here? He just said, I'll come and heal him. Is that what you think when you hear about a sick person? If not, why not? What are you afraid of? I'll say it to you again. What are you afraid of? I'm challenging you now. What are you afraid of? Well, they didn't ask me. Well, ask them. How you feeling? There's been many times I've asked people, how you feeling? Oh, I feel sick. Well, come on over here. I'll lay hands on you. We'll get you better. We'll take care of it. Be bold. You got all of heaven backing you up inside you. But that's not what I wanted you to see. That was free. Notice something. The centurion starts talking about authority. Did you hear me? See, the centurion knows something about authority. So his answer to Jesus, when Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him, the centurion says, not necessary. He says, I'm a man under authority. In other words, I understand what authority is, where it comes from. I'm a man under authority. Did you know you will never understand authority or walk in the authority that you have until you come under authority? You can try to exercise your authority all you want, but it won't work until you come under authority. Because it is being under authority that gives us authority. That's where our authority comes from being under authority. And if we're not under authority, we don't have authority. Think about it. A policeman only has as much authority as the county or the town or the state has given him. And if he's not under authority, he doesn't have a right to that badge or that gun or the use of it. You get out from under the authority of it and you're no longer a policeman. Well, it's the same thing with us. You get out from under the authority of Christ and that authority is not available to you for use because you're out from under authority. Get back under authority. Amen. Doesn't mean the authority isn't there. Just means you're not accessing it because you're out from under it. Mm-hmm. Praise God. He says, I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I understand how this works. I just say to this, go, and he goes, and another come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. See, he understood authority. He understand how it works, you understand. And so when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He marveled and said, I say to you, I've not found such great faith. No, not in all of Israel. Praise God. Understanding. Understanding. Now, I didn't say something. There's part of verse 8 that I left out as we were talking. Because I want you to see this. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but what? Just speak the word. Make your decree. Just speak the word. I understand the authority you have. I understand that you will decree a thing and it will be established unto you. I understand that. So go ahead and decree it. Decree my servant healed. That's enough for me. That's why Jesus marveled and said, in all of Israel, nobody else is getting this. It takes a Roman centurion to get it. He understood the authority that Christ had. Now the word of God says, as he is, so are you in this world. That centurion not only understood the authority that Jesus had, but he understands the authority that we have. Because as he is, so are we. So if Jesus could just speak the word and the servant would be healed, guess what? So can we. That's why when we pray for folks, even when they're not here, so often we get prayer requests to pray for people that are not here. We speak the word of faith. And what happens time and time and time again? They're healed. Even though we're nowhere near them. We just speak the word. Turn forward to Matthew. Matthew 17, if you would. We're looking at examples of how Jesus exercised his authority. Because he's our master. He's our example, isn't he? We're supposed to imitate him. Doesn't the word of God say for us to imitate him? To be conformed to his image? To do things the way he does them? Amen. Matthew 17. Let me know when you're there. Verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic and sore vexed. And oft times he falls into the fire and sometimes into the water. And I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. And Jesus said this, you faithless and perverse generation. Now you got to understand why Jesus said this. If you read a little bit early, you'll find out that Jesus gave the disciples, when he sent them out, he gave them power over and authority to cure sickness, to cast out devils. And if you study this out, you'll find out this particular devil was unwilling to go. And so rather than just standing fast in what Jesus had said, they let the devil talk him out of it. You faithless and perverse generation, how long am I going to be with you? How long do I have to put up with this? Bring him to me. And then look what it says in verse 18. And Jesus, what? Rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. He just rebuked the devil. He had the power and the authority to rebuke the devil. Jesus did. He just rebuked the devil. Get out. And it says the devil departed from him. Get out. There's no negotiation. There's no compromise. Get out. You don't want the devil in your house? Kick him out. You don't want the devil in your kids? Kick him out. Kick him out. Rebuke him. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat to the ship, so that it was now full. And Jesus was in the back of the ship, asleep. But they had to wake him up. You know, he's sleeping through this thing. He was resting so calmly. I mean, he fully expected to get to the other side undisturbed. They had to wake him up and said unto him, Master, don't you care that we're going to drown here? And so he arose and rebuked the wind. Well, here he is rebuking the sickness in the centurion servant, speaking the word. Here he is rebuking the devil in somebody that's demon-possessed. And now here's the weather. The weather is getting in the way of his plan. Fine, I'll just rebuke it. Kings have authority. Kings have power. If you're a king, of a child of God, then you have all the power of heaven inside you, ready to back up your decree. Jesus just decreed to that storm, peace, be still. Basically, he just said, enough is enough. It says, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he turned to them. Now imagine if you were in that boat, because now Jesus is going to turn and look at you after he's just rebuked the wind and the sea. And now he's looking at you. Aren't you kind of concerned about what he's going to say to you? And he turned to them and he said, why are you so afraid? How is it that you have so little faith? How is it that you're going to be with me all this time and have so little faith? And so I say to the church, how is it that you've been a born-again child of God for so long and are so afraid and have so little faith? How is it that you've made it this far and have so little faith and allow yourself to become so afraid? Amen. Now, why would Jesus talk to them this way unless he knew that they could have done the same thing? See, if they couldn't have done that, he'd have no reason or no right to be talking to them that way. I mean, they had every right to be afraid if really they were going to drown and there was nothing they could do about it. They'd have every right to be afraid. And why would you expect me to be acting in faith and be able to do this if I really don't have the capacity to do it? So why are you yelling at me? But see, Jesus knew better. He has made us kings and priests unto God. Kings and priests rule by decree. Jesus just stood up and decreed, peace, be still. Turn forward to Luke chapter 4. Look at one more example. Verse 38. And he, that would be Jesus, arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. In other words, they said, listen, Jesus, is there anything you can do about it? She's got a great fever. Now, you understand that in those days, you get a great fever, you're probably going to die. And so he stood over her, and what did he do? He rebuked the fever. And it says, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. He rebuked the fever, and what happened? It left. Well, that was Jesus. Because he could do anything. Jesus had the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. Because we know that he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power and went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We know that it was the anointing, the authority that came with that anointing, the power that came with that anointing that allowed him to do that. We know that from Acts 10:38 and many other places. We also know that that same power, that same anointing, that same Spirit is in us. And if that same Spirit is in us and that same anointing in us, then that same authority and that same power. And so I'll say to you again, why are you so afraid? How is it that you have so little faith? Listen, if you want to walk in the power of God, then you're going to have to stand in the power of God. And you're going to have to use the power that God has given you. Amen. Amen. Job 22:28 says what? You will decree a thing, and it will be established unto you. Do you understand that whatever you decree is going to be established to you? If you decree that you are sick, it will be established unto you. If you decree that this is doing no good, then that's exactly what you will have. If you decree that you only have this amount of money and no more, that's exactly what's going to be established unto you. See, because it says right here, you will decree a thing. Whatever you decree is what you will have. It will be established to you. Because you understand that as the king, you are actually your own worst enemy if you're not careful. Your mouth can send you to the grave if you're not careful. Because you will decree yourself into the grave. Or into the hospital. Or into poverty. Or bankruptcy. Into divorce. And anything else. You'll decree it. Because as a king, we rule by decree. We rule our life by our decree. By what we say. And it says it'll be established unto us. Yeah, but see, that was Jesus. Jesus is the one that rebuked the devil. He was Jesus. He could do that. What does Luke 10:19 say? Behold, I give you power and authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Yes, Jesus, yeah, he is the King of Kings. And he had authority and power to rebuke the devil. And he said, I'm giving it to you too, because you're kings. So now you have my power and authority over all the power of the enemy. You've got it. The same power I had, you have. What does Matthew 18:18 say? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You understand that the only way you could possibly do that is if you had authority and power. It's the only way you could possibly do it. You could not do that if you did not have the authority of heaven to back you up. And it got through right there telling us that the authority of heaven is behind us. Because whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Heaven will back it up. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Heaven will back it up. I like the way it says it in the Good News Bible. And so I tell all of you, whatever you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. So if you're going to permit that in your life, if you're going to permit that lack to continue in your life, heaven will say, all right, if you're permitting it, I will. You're the king. You're the one. You're the one decreeing it. God is not going to usurp the authority that he gave us. You have the authority. He gave it to you. He said, you decide. Right? Didn't we read that out of the way it says in the Message Bible? You decide what you want done. Then you'll decree it and it'll happen. So you decide. So when we open up our mouth and decide certain things, well, I'm on a fixed income. You decreed that you're on a fixed income, and that's exactly where you're going to stay. You are now fixed on that. That's all you're going to get. No more. That's it. But you see, you don't ever want to decree that, do you? Doesn't matter whether you're on a government, Social Security, doesn't matter whether you're on retirement, doesn't matter whether you're on disability, doesn't matter what it is. You are only limited to that if you decree that that is what your limitation is. That's your source. That's your supply. I'm on a fixed income. That's it. I only have so much. But when we say God is my supply, and there's more than this. Amen. Money comes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Let me just say this to you. There's times to pray for sure. There are times to pray. Amen. There's times to pray about the circumstance. There's time to pray about the situations and problems. There are times. The Word of God says to pray without ceasing. A wise king will consult with those who have wisdom. There is no greater wisdom than God. There is no greater wisdom that you can exhibit than to go before God with the problem or the situation in prayer. There is no greater wisdom to consult God. Well, you know, you can't consult God without consulting His Word. Find out what God said about that situation. Maybe it's a physical illness or affliction. Find out what God said about it. See, if you go consult God, you know, you don't even have to go into prayer. You can just look in the Word. That is consulting God. Amen. Maybe it's a financial thing. Find out what God said about lack and poverty. Find out what He said. Find out what He said about giving and receiving, about increase. Find out what He said about supernatural provision. Find out what He said. Consult God. There are times and there to pray and to go to His Word and to seek wisdom. But, say but, there comes a time when we're going to have to speak. There comes a time when we're going to have to deal with that thing. There comes a time when we're going to have to speak to the problem and decree what God has said about it. There comes a time when we're going to have to issue a decree about that thing. Talking to God about it is good, but there comes a time when we're going to have to speak to it. I told you about the time on our wedding day when we had been praying, asking God, seeking God, and believing God for a perfect day. And all weekend, every summer, it was beautiful. I mean, gorgeous weekends, except for the weekend of our wedding. The one weekend in the summer of our wedding. And we were having an outdoor wedding, and there was no plan B. It was outdoor, period. That was it. There was no plan B. We had no plan B. There was nowhere else to go. It was going to be outside. We had the tents up and everything else, people coming over. There's no plan B. But I woke up about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm listening to the thunder and the lightning and the wind and listening to all this stuff, and I just started praying. And God said, stop. You speak to the storm. You tell it what you want it to do. Isn't that what Job 22:28 says? You decide what you want, you decree it, and it'll happen. I couldn't believe that God told me to stop talking to him, stop praying. That was the first thing that really surprised me. But then he said, you speak. See, because he's given us the power and the authority to speak. Jesus spoke to the storm. Peace, be still. Well, I didn't say peace, be still. I wish I had. Instead, I said, blow away. Well, let me just say that the wind picked up. And it got real windy. For about an hour and a half. I mean, it really got windy. I thought that the tents were going to come up because it got so windy. But it blew that storm right out of the place. Right away into the southern tier. Blew it right away. It blew away. Now, I'm more careful now about what I say. Because the weather will obey you. And it blew away. And we had a perfect day because the wind did die down then. And we had a beautiful wedding. Beautiful wedding day. Beautiful reception. Amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 13 says this, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak. I believe what Jesus said in Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the decree he makes, that what he says will come to pass, he will have what he decrees. It will be established unto him. It will come to pass. Mark 11:23. Matthew 17:20. Everybody knows this because I quote it so often. Truly I say unto you, if you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will obey you. Well, that word where it says, you can say to this mountain, literally means to command to tell it. You can command that mountain, tell it to move, and it'll move. You can tell the devil to get out of your house and get off your finances. You can tell lack to get out of your wallet. You can tell money to come. But see, folks don't have a revelation of that. I said, folks don't have a revelation of that. But you can tell money to come. And it will come. Because if you can say to the sycamine tree, as it says in Luke 17:6, verily I say unto you, you know, you if you have faith even as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the sycamine tree, move, be picked up and moved over here, and it'll obey you. If you can say to a sycamore tree to move, to go from here to there, then you can tell money to go from there to here. But people don't know that. They don't have a revelation of it, and they don't believe it. And then they don't act in the authority that they have when they finally find out about it. Because they don't know who they are. You know, you can tell business to come to you. Deacon Allen does that at his law firm. Whenever business starts getting slow, he just commands business to come, and it does. See, he's learned how to do it, how to bring business in by decree. You need to meditate on these scriptures. You need to get into the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. You need to get this CD and listen to it about 20 times. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. As a king, you have the right to change what is by what you say. You have the right and you have the power behind you to back it up. You can change it. But see, so many folks have been stuck in a place for so long, they don't think anything will ever change it. It's the way it is. This is just the way that it is. And so it'll never change. And they're actually convinced of that. Well, the only thing that's going to change your mind about that is renewing your mind to what God has said and believing it. You can decree, I am healed, because it is written, Himself bore my sins in His body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness, and with His stripes I was healed. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, I am healed. I am free from every sickness and every disease, because He took my sickness and carried my pain. I decree in the name of Jesus that I am healed. And it says that it will come to pass. Now, it may not instantaneously appear, but it will come to pass. Decree it. And you keep on that decree and hold fast to that profession of hope without wavering, and it will manifest in your life, in your body. You can decree that you are delivered, because as it's written in Colossians chapter 1, He delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son. I am delivered from this poverty. I am delivered from this debt. I am delivered from this affliction. I'm delivered because it's written that I am. And I decree I am. You can decree that you have more than enough, because my God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's written. God said it. I decree it. It's mine. And it will come to pass. You can decree that you are the righteousness of God. The next time the devil starts telling you, well, you know, this is why you're not being blessed. This is why. And the devil starts telling you what a mess up you are, and an ugly sinner you are, and how you missed it again, and you're no good, you can say, no, no. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for me, so that I might be made the righteousness of God. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, I am the righteousness of God. I'm in right standing with God. I am highly favored. I am a son of God. And the next time things look so bad and, you know, just looks like everything is just falling apart and nothing seems to be going right, you can say, I decree according to Romans 8:28, all things work together for my good, because I love God and I'm called according to His perfect purpose. These things are working together for my good. The devil might have meant it for evil, but God means it to me for good. And this is going to turn out to my salvation. So you can decree things, or you can just go ahead and say, well, man, I just can't believe how bad things are going. But that's what people do. Don't do that. That's the decree that will be established to you if you do. Amen. Understanding who we are. Jesus, our Redeemer, the chief ruler of the kings of the earth, made us kings and priests. We have authority and power because He gave it to us. He gave us His own authority and His own power. It's not different. It's His. The Word of God tells us that when we were dead in sin, God quickened us together with Him and raised us up and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ. Where is Christ? He's seated in the place of power at the right hand of God, and we are in Him. So guess where that puts us? At the right hand of God in the place of power, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this earth, but in that which is to come. The same place. When you start talking about releasing your faith, this is what we're talking about. Having faith that is not released does no good. We're talking about releasing it by what I call the faith decree, the faith command. By believing that what you say, what you decree will come to pass, it will be established unto you. Amen? Did you learn something? Do we know that we have authority and power because of what God made us, what God gave us, and who God is in us? Amen? Father, thank You for Your Word, for Your precious Word that shows us who You are in us and who we are in You. Thank You, Father, for teaching us about faith. Thank You, Father, for teaching us about the authority and the power that we have as kings to rule, to decree. Thank You, Father, that Your Word is true. And Father, I pray that every person that heard this today and that hears the sound of this voice, rather it be through CD or through the internet or any other medium, that Father God, these words will go deep into their heart and take root and bring forth and bear much fruit, that the body of Christ might stand up in the power and the authority that belongs to us as children of the Most High God, as kings of the earth. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Ghost that is in us and empowers us and helps us and guides us and leads us. Thank you, Father, for revelation in the knowledge of you. We can't help, Father, but give you thanks that today the Word had free course and was glorified, that Jesus was exalted. And thank you, Father. We give you all the credit for it now and forever and ever in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, it's been good. Amen. We learned some things. Praise God.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.